Good morning. It is so good to see you guys here worshiping with us. So before we start, we're going to be in Nehemiah, of course. We're going to continue on in our series of Ezra and Nehemiah, so you can have your Bibles ready to go, Nehemiah chapter 8. But before we read in the book of Nehemiah, I want to read just this passage over us as just kind of a reminder, and just it's such a powerful, powerful passage. This is what it says. It's from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, God's Word, it says here clearly that God's Word formed all things. God's Word framed the world. God gave us the law. We see in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, God's Word promised a second exodus for His people. God's Word changed the heart of a king to set His people free. God's Word helped the people have a home to come home to. He gave them that place. God's people then rebuilt the temple. And now they have these rebuilt walls, and they have their rebuilt temple, and they have their rebuilt city. And now what we see is a group of people that are hungry for God's Word. And so we see this same similar pattern in Nehemiah that we saw in Ezra. So if you go back to Ezra, the first half of Ezra, the first part of Ezra and Nehemiah focused on God's people returning and rebuilding something. The rebuilding of the temple in Ezra and the walls in Nehemiah and their city. And then the second half of Ezra, and now the second half as we move into this last part, this last half of Nehemiah, focuses on the rebuilding of the lives of the people, the restoration of who they are. And so what we see in chapter 8 is a people that were truly hungry for the Word of God. And the questions we will be asking ourselves this morning is this, and this is what I want you to kind of have just kind of ringing through your head, is this: do I long for the Word of God? Am I hungry for the Word of God to direct my life? That's a tough, tough question. And I talk about this all the time, and we are all guilty of this. We are really good at coming to church, aren't we? We're just really good at getting into the car, and we probably don't want anyone to see what happens between getting up and getting here for a lot of us, and the struggles and the family issues and the whining and the bickering. And I'm sure mom and dad have never spoken louder than they usually do to get to church. But we, you know, we walk through that door, and we're really good at going, "Hi, everything is great. Everything is great, and I am just following the Lord." And then we walk out of that, like, "Where are we going to lunch? What are we doing? We got stuff to get, homework." You know, we're really good at just, you know, compartmentalizing ourselves in this place. And then we have this whole week. We've got 6 days and a bunch of, and another several hours on a Sunday. It's like, who are we out there? And the question I have for us as a church is this: do we truly hunger for the Word of God to direct our lives? What we see and what we're going to see in this chapter is a group of people, at least at this time in history, that they were like, "Yes, we need God's Word." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love You. We are so grateful for the freedom to be here, to drive to this place and this parking lot and have these walls around us where we can come in and we can worship with music and song and sing about Your great love for us and sing about who You are and sing about that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what a privilege it is to be able to open up Your Word that is right here that You have protected through time And we know it and we feel it. And those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, we, when we read it, we know it's your word because it is alive. And we trust it and we know that you've said that all of this scripture that you've protected through time and have given to us, it is all breathed out by you. So we can trust it, Lord, as we open it this morning. Thank you for this time. Speak to our hearts. Let us develop a passion and a hunger and a thirst for your word. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So turn to me to Nehemiah chapter 8, but we're gonna start just a few lines above chapter 8 as we finished out chapter 7, really the second half of 73. And it's kind of an important part. It says, "And when the seventh month had come, the people of Israel were in their towns." And then verse 1 of 8. "And all the people gathered as one man," which means they were unified. "They gathered together into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel." So we see this setting. The temple had been rebuilt. The walls have been repaired. And then last week we saw Nehemiah, whether he was standing on a ledge or he was just overlooking the city, we saw him looking over the city and seeing this vast city, but very few inhabitants. So we understand that the remnant of God's people were in their towns. And at some point he's like, well, who's going to fill this? And we talked about that last week. Or who is going to fill this place? It's going to be believers in the Lord. A holy people. And so here's what we learn about the remnant of God's people. Those that were there, those that had come back, those that had gathered their families and made the trek, those that had arrived, those that had rebuilt the temple many years before this and then began to rebuild the walls, and here they were, and here was this group of people, this small remnant of God's people, and here's what they wanted. They wanted to be taught the Word of God. This is just a really awesome picture. They wanted to hear the Word of God. They wanted to know and understand God's Word. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. If you want to use that phrase now, just bring it. I mean, this is where it comes from, right? Just bring it. That's probably not true Hebrew there. Anyway, they said, bring it. Bring the book of law to us. Bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. And here's why I love this verse, because I think of Ezra here, okay? So Ezra is just this guy that I kind of like fell in love with his whole goals and life and all this stuff, okay? So here's this verse that is really a continuation of a beautiful picture that we saw back in the book of Ezra. It is the journey of a man who did not set out for riches. He didn't set out for power or fame. What he set as his goals in life was to study God's word, live it out, and then teach it to others. That's what he set as his goals. Ezra 7:10, we talked about this several times, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, to live it, and then to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." This was who Ezra was. He said, "Lord, here I am. I'm going to study your word, then I'm going to do my very best." He was just a human, but he was going to do his very best to go live it out. And then any chance that he had, he was going to teach God's ways to those around him. This was his goals. And again, he was humble about it, but where did God put him? He rose Ezra up. He was a man who found himself in the presence of a king. A man who led God's people out of bondage. And now a man who was fulfilling his goals by teaching the word of God. So here he was in the town, and the people were saying, "Teach us." And he had already been teaching them for 13 years, and they're saying, "Bring us the word of God. Continue to teach us." Look at verses 2 and 4, 2 through 4. He says this, "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month." And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood those guys. Okay, so here's a few things that I want us to catch in this passage. Okay, so we've got the picture in our mind, okay? It's very important that we understand the seventh month, okay? We're going to get to that in just a second. But here's the people. They're in their towns. The walls have been rebuilt. The temple's been rebuilt. And they, this remnant, says, Ezra, please teach us. Continue to teach us. Bring us the word of God. Help us to understand it. And so they give the date that it was on the first day of the seventh month. Why is this so important? It is important because we've got to understand that Ezra had already been teaching God's people. This wasn't the first time that he taught them. He had already been teaching them. Because remember when in Ezra, when they came back, they were very, very, they desired to reestablish their ways of life, their religious ways of life. They said, we have got to go back to living under the law. We've got to go back to understanding what we have been called to do as God's people. And so Ezra has been teaching them those things. And so when God's people came back, they wanted and desired to reestablish this way of life. And so it meant to reestablish the observance of Israel's festivals. Okay, that was a part of what their religious way of life was. So when the wall had been finished in the sixth month, the people knew, because they had been taught these many years, they had been taught that the seventh month was full of festivals, okay? So that's why they tell us right here, it was the first day of the seventh month. They desired to observe God's commands. So what do we see just from that, just from observing these first few verses? Here was a group of people that said, I want to live by God's ways. We want to be taught God's word. We desire to observe and live out his commands, okay? They were a people that desired to be directed by God's law. Here was a group of people who simply wanted God's law to direct their lives. And this has got to be a question that we are asking ourselves as believers. As East Point Church, as followers of Christ. I am a follower of Christ. Do you desire for God's word to direct your life? Because I know a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian and I'm all in when it suits me. I'm all in when this passage means something to me. I'm all in when it tells me I can be prosperous. That's what I really want. But I don't want to deal with all this holiness stuff. I'm all in when culture says these sins are wrong, but these things are okay. I'm all in until a passage goes against that, and I'm like, well, I don't know. This book's not real relevant today. You know, I mean, we're a kind of people that says, well, this is okay, and that's not okay. Are we willing to trust the word of God and say, I'm willing to let God's law, let God's word direct my life completely? This group of people were a people at this time, this group right here in history, they were saying, we desire for God's law to direct our lives. How do we know this? Look at verse 3. How do we know they wanted this? It's right here. Look at it. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. How do we know they wanted it? Look at what they were doing. Early morning, all day long. Families together, all men and women and those who could understand, which include children. And they were attentive. The ears of the people were attentive. God's people were hungry for the word. They said, bring us the word of God. We'll build you a platform, stand on it, and teach us the word of God. We are hungry for the Word of God. They listened all day. Guys, this is way different than our culture. Our church people are hungry for lunch in about 30 minutes. That's what we're hungry for. When are we going to get out of here? I got a lot of stuff I got to get done today. When's the service going to be over? Sometimes we're more hungry for the things that need to be done later in the afternoon on a Sunday than we are right here gathering together, opening God's Word. Now, I get it. This is our culture. But I've worked in churches for 27 years. And there's been serious issues where people come and say, we need to shorten our service. We got to get out. We need to get out a little earlier because we're running into problems at the restaurants. And I mean, this is real conversations that people have had. Now, this is our thing that we do as Christians, guys. This is special. You look around right now. This is a community of believers that have all driven up to this place to come into this place together to sing praises to the Lord and open up His Word and learn from it. Is this a show or is this real? Do we truly hunger? Do we walk in this place going, I can't wait to open the Word of God in Bible study and Sunday school and to open the Word of God in our service together because I can't wait to see how it's going to change my life. I can't wait to see how it's going to tell me how to direct my life because I trust it so much and I know there's a lot of junk in my life and I'm not doing some things right. I need the Word of God to direct me. I need it to direct me to repentance so I know what I'm doing wrong. I need to know what I should be doing for my family. I need to know how to live a life of holiness because I'm struggling in this area. I can't wait to open up God's Word because I desire and I hunger for it. Our attitudes in our culture is really different than Christians in most of the other parts of the world. And the only reason I know this is because I've been to a few of those places. I believe distraction for us has just numbed us to growth. I mean, you understand that? We were just numb. We're like, yeah, we got so many hours of other stuff in this culture that just pushes. And when you go to other places where there's persecution and there's people coming to the Lord and they have to leave their entire family and be shunned by their entire family, and those that have never had the Word of God, they are so hungry for the Word of God. In this duck. I found that in Nepal, and I've told you that story. You know, we were in this, like 80 of us in this little tiny room, half the size of this room. Little tin thing that had been built as a church because the earthquake had destroyed their churches. And here we were, there was one window, and let me tell you what, it did not smell great. It was hot, it was sweaty. I'm so thankful there was a little window right behind me where I was teaching and preaching, and I would just kind of act like I was looking out at the beautiful mountains, but it was to kind of stick my head out, get a deep breath, and come back in and continue to teach. And I remember teaching for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then walking outside, just outside. I just remember standing there, like, you know, just taking a little break, sitting down. And I had been out there for 2 minutes, and the translator came out and was like, they're wanting more. When are you coming back in? And they'd been in there for 2-3 hours. They were hungry for the Word of God. I was preaching in Honduras a couple of years ago, and I guess I was, I forget what I was doing, what it was for, but I preached a sermon, and it went about 45 minutes with the translator. And when I was finished, one of the guys that spoke a little English was like, man, that was short. It's like 45 minutes here, I'm getting uncomfortable, right? I'm just saying that around the world, there's people that have not had the Word of God. They haven't been taught the Word of God, and here they are giving their life to Jesus Christ. They feel the call of the Holy Spirit in their life. They are responding to the gospel. It is, you know, when they hear the good news, faith is given to them, and they are responding to the gospel. And then they're saying, now what? How do I do this? How am I supposed to live a holy life in the midst of all this persecution, in the midst of a family that is completely Hindu, in the midst of a family that is Muslim, in the midst of a family that hates Christianity, in the midst of a family where other Christians are being beheaded over? How do I do this? Please teach me the Word of God. This is the life of most Christians in the world. And here, we're a little more numb, aren't we? The challenge for us this morning is, are we going to be a people that hunger for the Word of God? I think it's interesting. I look at our students and our 20-somethings, even up to mid-30s, and studies are showing today, as we are kind of in this... this time period where the church cannot just kind of open their doors and expect people to flood in. Okay, that was the 50s. That was where the church was the center of the town. You know, you have your revival and everyone came. You had your potlucks and everyone came. Then we hit the kind of the 80s, and then the 90s became the seeker time, and it was just like boom, boom. We're doing lights and fog machines and all sorts of stuff, and we were attracting a certain amount of people. Today, people are not really doing that. I mean, we still see it in our culture. We're in the Bible Belt, okay? So we're kind of behind a little bit what's happening, but. Here's what studies are showing, that young people, they're tired of the entertainment. They want substance. They're saying, "Teach me. I don't need your fog machines. I need some substance." And the ones that show up, that's what they want. And when you don't do that, they're going to go look for something else. They're like, "I need something." And they're not just showing up because you just opened the door. They're showing up because of a relationship that someone talked to them at their workplace and said, "You ought to come check this out." And they see something real in your life and they say, what's different about you? Well, come check it out. Come see what God's doing. We can't be about entertainment. You know how much entertainment's out there? God, grief. You can have like 16 streaming services on your phone. You can watch anything you ever wanted at any time. You could watch a show as you sat in a traffic jam somewhere. It's like, well, here for 40 minutes, I'll just watch a show. You know, there is so much entertainment. We can't compete with that. But we've got something so much better. We have the gospel of Jesus, don't we? We got something so much more real because it is real. We got something that is life-changing. We've got something that is eternal. And that's the Word of God. That's Jesus, the truth. And so the question we ask, we see from this group of people, they're saying, "Please teach us, Ezra, just teach us. We want to know, we want to understand, we want to be doing the right thing. We want God's Word to direct our lives." And our question this morning is, are you hungry for the Word of God in your life? Do you long for the Word of God to direct your life? It's one of those exciting times in my life and a very sad time in my life. I have a graduate, my first one, graduated this week. We have 8 graduates in our church, which that's the biggest group we've ever had here as a church. And there's a passage that I always challenge graduates with. And it's a passage from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which 5 through 6, which says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your straight. He will make straight your paths." Again, do you trust in all of his word? Not just parts of it. Do you trust in all of it? Are you willing to lean not on your own understandings, but trust in the Word of God to direct you? And then are you willing to, in every part of your life, not just Sunday morning part, not just Wednesday night part, not just Bible study part, not just hanging with my Christian friends part over here, but in every area of your life, even when no one's looking, are you willing to acknowledge him in all your ways? Are you willing to trust the Lord with all your heart? And if you see that passage, you see there's a promise. He will make straight your paths. He will make your paths straight. This word is here because he loves us. This word is to protect us. This word is to draw us closer to him. It's to help us understand who God is, but it's also to help us to live out a life for him. And then he protects us. When we follow God's ways, he protects our marriages. When we follow God's way, he protects our families. When we follow God's ways, he protects us from getting ourselves into situations where there's consequences. This is his love. This is incredible. Jesus is truth. This is truth. Do you trust the Lord with your heart? Do you trust God's word to direct your life? At least here in this time in history, we look back at God's people and we know that they were always, they were just like us. They would trust and then they would turn away. We know that right here was a group of people, a remnant, standing there, sitting there, and they were saying, let us be taught. They recognized the need for God's word in their lives, and they were hungry for someone to teach and to explain it to them. And all the, I love this part, guys. I love this part. This is so, it's very affirming to our church. It says, and all the men and women and those who could understand listened attentively. There is a reason that we don't have children's church, because we desire our children to be in here with our families listening to the word of God. Now we understand we still have a nursery for up to certain ages, but we desire ultimately for your children to come in and sit by their parents, sit by their grandparents, watch mom and dad worshiping, and then see and understand and hear the word of God being taught. Did you know children understand a lot? Have you ever been asked a hard question by your children or your grandchildren? It's because they're listening, because they can get it. They can learn to sit. They can learn to be taught. Here we see families gathering from early morning until midday, listening and being attentive. So we see the importance of when they did it. We see the importance of why they did it, which was to come together and be taught. We see that they were hungry and they were attentive and they were willing to sit and they were willing to listen because they desired the word of God to direct their lives. We see families gathering. And what else do we see here? In verses 4 through 8, we see the importance of gathering and hearing the preaching of God's word. Look at verses 4 through 8. And Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood those guys. Go down to chapter 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. It didn't mean he was above them. He was just standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Skip down to verse 8. It says this, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. And they gave the sense. Some translations would say they gave the translation so that the people understood the reading. Why do we gather in this place? God's word in the New Testament tells us to not stop meeting together. Paul, in his letters, teaches on the order of worship. Jesus stood and he taught the people in the synagogues and on the sides of the mountains. He taught and explained. The apostles taught and explained and preached the good news of the gospel and helped people understand how the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. Again, I've been in the ministry since I was a freshman at OBU, and I've heard many people through the years give me lots of great excuses of why they're not part of the church. I don't really need the church. I've got my quiet times. I don't need the church. I can just spend time with him at home. I'm fine. I've heard some say, you know, I've got my little Bible study and that's enough. Quiet times are super important. We've got to spend time with the Lord daily. Bible studies, super important. They allow us to hash out things and study the Word of God. Community groups, super important. It helps us to come out of this place and get to know each other and kind of live lives and have a more intimate relationship with people and live lives. But we, as a body of Christ, must gather together to praise the name of Jesus in unity and open the Word of God and hear it preached and hear it so we can understand it. We need to gather. There's something special about this. There's something unified about this, singing praises to the Lord. There's something that kind of energizes us as we look around and we see, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we're able to go out, and then we're able to live in community together as we gather in smaller groups and really walk life with each other and know what's happening and pray for each other and do those things. But gathering together to be strengthened and open the Word of God is important, to hear the Word of God preached and explained. Ezra stood on a platform and brought the Word of God. And guess what? He had help too. He had those elders with him and they helped. They helped because it was a long day. It was a long day. And it says in verse 8 that they read it clearly. They read it clearly. They took serious the reading of God's word, and then they gave sense to it. There were people that had come back from Babylon, and they didn't know Hebrew anymore. So they were probably translating it into Aramaic, and they were helping people understand what the word of God says. They helped the people understand, they translate, they explained it. I love that. And then we see the power of God's word. How did the people respond to the reading and the explaining of God's word? It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, and lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped with their faces to the ground. If you look at verse 9, if you keep on going, it says, and Nehemiah, here's Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. That's powerful. They said, teach us the word. We desire it to direct our lives. We're willing to commit. Let's get here. Let's hear from it all day long. And then the word of God impacted the people. It changed their hearts. And they responded. They couldn't help but to weep and to mourn when they heard the truth of God's word. They were impacted. They worshiped the Lord as a result of hearing the word. Again, we look at this and we go, this is for me. Is your life changed when you hear God's word? When you hear the good news of the gospel, is your life impacted? Does God's word lead you to repentance? Does God's word cause you to stand up and rejoice and to worship or put your face to the ground and maybe not literally, but in your heart, you are on your face before the Lord? Does God's word cause you to worship because it brings comfort and peace, which then causes you to worship? God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. You know this from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word is alive. So when we listen to it, when we say, yes, Lord, teach me your truth, it will change us because it goes directly into our souls, into our hearts. The word of God is powerful. The gospel is powerful. That's what we were talking about last week. You know, we don't have to be scared to go out and share the gospel because it's God's word that causes and calls people to him. It's not your great delivery. We're very flawed in those areas, aren't we? And sometimes we think, well, I've got to have this all together to be able to tell. No, we just need to tell the good news. And it's the Word of God that stirs in people's hearts, the Holy Spirit that calls. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. I love the picture of this right here. God's people, this remnant who has come home, they've come home, and they desire to live according to God's ways and commands, and they're so hungry for the reading and the hearing of God's words, and so they ask Ezra to bring the word. And so this man that God uses, a man who has devoted his life to the reading and studying and living out of and the teaching of God's word, stands up and he teaches them. He reads it. They explain it. He reads it clearly, and then God's people respond in worship. And hearing this, they not only respond in worship, but they also respond in repentance. And next week, Cody's going to be in chapter 9. You're going to see this response of repentance. But it was the Word of God was causing them to desire to repent. But the festival that they were in the middle of was really a festival of celebration. So Nehemiah says, hold on, guys. Don't cry and mourn right now. We're going to get to that in a little while. We've got to celebrate. We've got to celebrate what God has done for us. Festivals that God designed, they were really just set there to place in the people's lives to remind God's people of what he had done for them and that what he would continue to do for them, and then all that just pointed directly to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. It was just a big deal. And so they did those things to experience that, to worship and thank the Lord, and to be reminded that he still loves me. He is protecting me. He is restoring me. And he has promised a Savior. And so Ezra reminded the people in verses 9 through 12, we're not going to read all of that, not mourn right now. There was a time for that. But right now he encouraged them to celebrate. All this is part of our worship. You know, you come in here on some Sundays and you can't believe what God's doing for you. And you just want to praise the Lord. Some of us come in here and we need to be reminded of his goodness. We need to be reminded that he is in control, and that we be reminded of his peace that he gives through the hard times. We're all experiencing those different aspects as we come together and worship and read God's word. And so God's people in this moment celebrated the Feast of the Booths. And you can read on verses 13 through 18 and how they went about that. It shows God's people celebrating this feast, and they were greatly rejoicing. Again, what a beautiful picture. God's people hearing, God's people listening, God's people responding, God's people weeping, God's people rejoicing because of the word of God. Do you know who the Word of God is? It's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Just read that at the very beginning of this passage, this message. Jesus is truth. Jesus came. Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. I can't remember the exact number. There's like over 300 prophecies completely fulfilled by Jesus. I mean, that's, if you want just proof, just go back and read the Old Testament and see how Jesus came and fulfilled all those prophecies. And then when Jesus came, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the truth. Jesus is the truth. This is the gospel. My question is this: will we respond? Will you respond to the truth this morning? The truth of God's word. Here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us to bow our heads, and I want to lead you through a little prayer before we come to the time of reflection. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, would you just ask right now. And you might have a ton of distractions in your head. You might be, maybe you feel far away from the Lord because really you've just kind of been immersing yourself in this world or in sin or whatever it is. Would you just stop right now, and as a believer in Jesus, would you ask God to give you a hunger for his word? As a child, you might just have this childlike faith. You're a new Christian, and just ask the Lord, help me to understand your word. Help me to have a hunger for your word. Maybe you're as an adult and you've been a Christian for a long time. Just say, God, give me a hunger. Will you then pray and ask God to give you a desire to let God's word direct your life, to direct your steps? You know, we can have a hunger for his word and we can read it, but are we going to go out and live it, to do it? Not just talk about it in here, but go out and walk his word daily. And this one's going to be tough, but would you be willing right now to ask the Lord to give you a desire to turn off the distractions that keep you from loving his word? That keeps you from seeking and hearing his word? And then finally, would you be willing, like Ezra, to set as goals in your life to study his word, to live his word, and then to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ? Non-believers, those that maybe you just have questions and doubts, maybe you're just here, maybe you've been here for a long time, but you know that you have never responded to the gospel. You know that Christ is truly not the Lord of your life. Would you be willing to respond in faith to the gospel, to the truth today? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for your incredible love for us, that you sent your son for us to fulfill all the truth, all the prophecies, everything that you always promised. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of those promises. You sent your son to be our Savior, to willingly die on the cross. He did not stay dead. He rose from the grave. He defeated death. Thank you for Jesus. We worship you and praise you for Jesus. And we know that your truth, that your word is alive and we can trust it. Lord, let us be a church that hungers after your word. Not just kind of brings our dusty Bibles and goes through the motions of opening it and following along and then just putting it away for the week. But help us to be a church that hungers to open it, to read it, to study it, to live it, and then to tell others about it. Tell others about you, Jesus. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we are not in this alone. That when we trust in you, that we are grafted into a family. Thank you for that. Let us encourage each other. Let us challenge each other. Let us disciple and fight alongside each other to have a hunger for your word and to live it out. God, bring people to this family that need you, that are lost. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.